hosted by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
The last days, there would be perilous times, and the peril is upon us. Amen. But let the church be the church. I said, let the church be the church. In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, there is a word that Pastor Peter gives to his protege, Timothy. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And then verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. I hope y'all found that. I see some of you still looking, even in the pulpit. Do we need to read it again? 1 Timothy chapter 4, amen, verses 12 through 16. You ought to have it by now. God bless you. But we're living, y'all. Thank you, youth ushers. Thank you. Y'all did a good job this morning. Thank you. Amen. We're living in a time where there is so much going on, and I've been watching, and I know you've been watching the news, and the state of New York now has sanctioned gay marriage, and many other states are sanctioning and approving gay marriage, amen. And for the most part, I guess the church is kind of silent. As a matter of fact, I saw one poll that said that 50% of American citizens think it's okay. 57% of American citizens say that it's okay for gays to get married. Now, another poll I saw that it said that 80% of Americans are Christians. If my math is right, there's a problem there. Amen. 57% of Americans say that gay marriage is all right. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. And then 80% of us are Christian. That don't tally up right. And so God has laid it on my heart this morning to pull up a sermon from some time ago, because I think it speaks to the issues. Now, please understand, if you don't understand, don't misunderstand. I believe, as a matter of fact, I know that God does not excuse any sin. He doesn't excuse any sin. Amen. And I don't believe that we ought to scapegoat any sinner. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, if you're a fornicator, don't sit there and point at, amen, the gay, and say they're worse than you. See, because when you read the Bible and you understand the word of God, you understand that all have sinned. Not y'all. See, some of y'all put a Y in there. Y'all have sinned. No. Tell your neighbors, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And with what that says is that we all, amen, have to be thankful for the grace of God, for the blood of Jesus. But we got to draw some lines somewhere. Y'all getting real. I knew you were going to be quiet, but I didn't know you. I said we have to draw some lines somewhere. Now, if you're smart, you do like my secretary is doing up front here. And I've told y'all before, Amen. If you know you want to come out good in the sermon, amen, you just say amen louder than everybody else. That's all you got to do. See, I learned that early. Amen. Just say amen, preacher. All right. But y'all, this message is entitled Living a G-Rated Life in an X-Rated World. Living a G-Rated Life in an X-Rated World. This book that we have before us this morning was the first of the pastoral epistles giving instructions concerning church order and doctrine and discipline. Paul here is writing to his protege, Timothy, who was under some scrutiny because of his age. So Paul gives him some instructions on living. Now, although this is a pastoral epistle, there are some holy hints for godly living for all who will hear and receive what God has to say. The New International Version says, "Don't let anyone down you because you are young." Now, laying aside the pastoral significance of this text, the Spirit of God wants all of us to see how we can live G-rated lives in an X-rated world. The first thing he says here is, "Be thou an example of the believers." Now, for those of you who are grammarians, you know that in order to be an example of something, first of all, you have to be something. Before I can be an example of a believer, I've got to, first of all, be a believer. Can I get a witness this morning? In order for me to understand what being an example of a believer is all about, I have to, first of all, be a believer in my heart. Now, let me ask you, are there any believers in the room today? I believe. And then Paul outlines a prescription for Timothy, telling him and us how we can live a G-rated life in an X-rated world. And some of y'all are looking at me as if you don't know what X-rated is all about. Well, if you watch TV long enough, you can see X-rated. Can I get a witness here today? If you listen to some of the music that our young people are listening to, and it's surprising to me sometimes, because sometimes even on the church van on the way, amen, to some other place, they're listening. Now, I don't condemn music, but you got to draw some lines. You've got to draw some lines. Can I get a witness today? Some of you see X-rated leaving your house every morning going to school. Ooh, y'all got real quiet on that. And don't say a word. Some of y'all see X-rated, amen, leaving your house, going to church on Sunday, and you don't say a word. What are you talking about? I'm talking about some of our children, amen. The way we allow them to go to school and come to church, amen. There was a time when we, as the church, drew some lines, amen, amen. Baby, that's all right at the club, but we come here to be before God. We've come here to worship a holy and righteous God. You've got to draw some lines. X-rated. Y'all know what X-rated is. Stop sitting there looking like, huh? Like a deer in headlights. Amen. What is X-rated? Some of y'all know, amen, what X-rated is. Some stuff you saw on television, some magazine. Come on, you saw it, and you saw the lady with it on, and you was, amen. You had to say in your mind that she looks real good in that, and if I get it, then I'll look real good in it. It don't always work out like that, does it? But my brothers and sisters, all kidding aside, we're living in perilous times. And God told me to remind his people today that we are the church of God. We are representatives of the kingdom of God. Amen. And my brothers and sisters, we have to draw some lines. Turn to your neighbor and tell him we have to draw some lines. We have to draw some lines. Thomas Paine said that these are the times that try men's souls. But Paul wants us to know that we can live godly lives in this X-rated world. So Paul begins by telling us to be an example of the believers. Watch this. Number one, he says, in word. And this word is translated in the Greek logos, which means to be an example of the Word, and the Word being the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he tells us to be an example in word, he's telling us that we ought to somewhat resemble the one whom we claim we're following, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I'm just foolish enough to believe that if you walk with him long enough, if you talk with him long enough, oh, y'all don't have to say nothing. I just believe that you will take on some of his character, some of the qualities, amen. If you really love him, because one thing I know, if you love something, you pay a lot of attention to it. So if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, then you ought to want to be more like him. And let me say to the young people in the room, there are all kind of models out there that are trying to be role models. They're role models in the music world. They're role models in the sports world, amen. But young people, let me tell you, the best role model that you can pattern your life after is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I need to tell you that if you're going to walk like him, if you're going to talk like him, you need to know how he walked and you need to know how he talked. And the only way you can know that is by studying the Word of God. Can I get a witness this morning? And so he means here that we ought to be an example not by just reading the Word, but by knowing the Word. See, that requires more work. Amen. A lot of us get away by saying, I did my daily Bible reading. You know, we have these Bible reading plans, you know. We read a couple of chapters in the Old, a couple of chapters in the New, and we feel all good because we say, I've done my daily Bible reading. But when are you going to apply what you've read to your everyday life? It's not enough to just be in the Word. Some of the most confused folk in the church are in the Word. I'm telling you what I know. They in the Word, amen. Every time you look at them, they got a Bible under their arm, amen. But the problem is the Word ain't in them. I said it's one thing to be in the Word, but it's something else for you to let the Word get in you. Because if I'm wrong, y'all correct me, but I just think that the Word in the person of Jesus, the Christ, is powerful enough that if it gets in you, it's going to affect change in your life. You can't be comfortable, amen. You can't be comfortable doing any and everything. You can't feel comfortable. You ought not be able to rest at night when you know, amen, that you've been living a life contrary to the Word and the will of God. I know that's how it does me. Please understand, I'm preaching to you from this pulpit, but I'm as much human as you are. But I thank God this morning that when I do wrong, I feel godly bad about it. I thank God that if I think the wrong thing, amen, it bothers me. Because let me tell you something, when you reach a point in your Christian life that you can do anything and everything and not feel at all guilty about it, feel no shame about it, I need to tell you there's something wrong with your religion. As a matter of fact, that's the problem. All you have is religion. Anybody know that it takes more than religion? You've got to have a relationship with God. Oh, thank God you can text your friends and you can, amen, email your buddies and all of that. But you ought to want to be able to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Is there anybody in this room who can say, my life has been different since I met him? My life has changed since I've gotten to know him? So that's why, young people, we study and we're getting ready to go to youth encampment. And I know many of you, amen, will be going with us. And one thing I love about youth encampment is that we study the Word of God. We study the Word of God. That's what it's, everything we do is centered around the Word of God. Our young people compete in basketball, but when the game is over, if one team has 12 points and one team has 8 points, each person who scored a shot has to be able to give a Bible scripture. So what happens is, if you've made all these points but you don't know the Word, amen, those points don't count. It's about the Word.
It's about the word. Paul told Timothy, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so Paul says, number one, if you're going to live a G-rated life in an X-rated world, you've got to be an example of the believer in word. And y'all, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad that he said be an example and not the definitive article, the example. Anybody else happy about that? Amen. Amen. For the example that we are to pattern our lives after is Jesus. Because I don't care how much of an example I am or you are, if you try to pattern your life after man, guess what? Your aim is too low. You're aiming for mediocre standards. But if you want to be somebody, oh my God, then you ought to strive to be like Christ. Strive to be like, and to be like Christ, you have to know the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. You've got to know the word. So understand that what Paul is saying, he's not merely talking about being in the word, amen. He's talking about letting the word be in you, knowing the word. You've got to know the word, because let me tell you, I don't care if you know Socratic syllogisms, Aristotelian logic, it's the word of God that will save you. I don't care how deep you are in psychology and sociology, and I don't care, amen, how much you know about science and quantum physics and all of that. I believe I got some witnesses here today who know that only the word has the power to save you. Oh, I know I've got two or three folk in the room who've had sickness in their bodies. They've had trouble in their homes. They went to all of the other places, but they had to come back to the word of God. Is there anybody thankful for a word that says he was wounded for my transgressions? He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, but by his stripes I'm healed. Is there anybody glad for a word that says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning? Is there anybody thankful for the word today? He says, be an example in word. And then he says, be an example, watch this, in your conversation. Now, in the Greek vernacular, this word conversation is anastrophe, which means conversation here means, because you got to go to the Greek to really get it, anastrophe. The word anastrophe means that conversation here is not just dealing with what you say, but it's talking about the whole conversation of your life. It's talking about not just how you act in church on Sunday. Oh, don't get cute on me now. Amen. You know there's a Sunday you. And there's it at home, amen, watching the NFL game, you. Come on, don't get cute on me now. You know there's a Sunday, amen, Sunday you, but you know, amen, there's a soap opera you. Can I get a witness here this morning? And so when Paul says, he uses this word, he says, be an example in conversation, he's saying not just what you talk, but what you walk. The young folk had a song a few years ago called Walk It Out. Amen. And a lot of us need to quit talking it out and start walking it out in conversation. Let your yeas be yeas. Oh, I love to deal with people like that who, amen, you ain't got to wonder and speculate. You know, amen, when they, whatever they tell you to your face, that's just the word. And you ain't got to be scratching your head trying to figure out, did they mean this or did they mean that? Or, I'm talking about church folk. I'm talking about folk in the church. Amen. You can't trust nothing that comes out of their mouth. I heard a woman say one time, amen, about her child. She said, he'll lie as quick as he opens his mouth. Y'all know any folk like that? But he says that we ought to be an example of the believer in our conversation. Watch this. He's saying that our lifestyle ought to line up with our lip style. Our lip style ought to line up with our lifestyle. And if you're an example, you can't settle for being an average example. You can't settle for being a mediocre example. You have to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So that means that you have to be an example not just on Sunday. They can't hear you praising God on Sunday and then cussing like a sailor on Monday. There's no power, amen, in you teaching a beautiful Sunday school lesson on Sunday, but then talking about the filth and the dirt you did on Saturday. Your lifestyle has to line up with your lifestyle. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says bitter and sweet water cannot flow from the same fountain. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? Be an example of the believer in your conversation. Say, in your conversation. Then he says, be an example of the believer in charity. Now, this word charity translates from the Greek word agape, which means divine love. See, normally when we hear the word charity, we think about benevolence. We're thinking about giving, amen, giving somebody something. But he uses this word charity. He says we've got to be an example in the quality of our love. He says that we ought to have godly love. Now, you know there are all kinds of love. There's eros, erotic love, amen. There's phileo, amen, brotherly love. But he tells us that the kind of love we ought to exhibit is godly love. Can I ask y'all a question? How has God loved you? Can I ask you a question? Amen. Has God ever stopped loving you? Can I ask you another question? What have you done in your life, amen, that has caused God, amen, to just kick you to the curb, to just, amen, totally give up on you? Oh, my God, oh, my God. That's agape love. It's an unconditional love. He says that if you're going to be an example of the believer, there's some of you sitting here right now saying amen that got some folk after this message is over that you need to get to and beg their pardon. Some of y'all sitting in here shouting and saying amen, amen, and know that you got some folk you have said and concluded, I will never speak to them again. As a matter of fact, I don't care if they die and fall off the face of the earth. You better be careful. Because if that's godly love, you're in danger. If God gave up on us every time we messed up, we'd be in trouble. Well, let me speak for myself. I would be in trouble. But I can stand here today and thank him that he's a God of another chance. You know, I used to say he's the God of a second chance. But my second chance ran out a long time ago. Oh, but I can praise him today that he's a God of another chance. Anybody in here glad to know that no matter how far you've gone out, that he'll give you another chance? He loves us in spite of us, in spite of our wickedness, in spite of our low-down, dirty ways. And don't act like you don't have any. In spite of our envy and greed. That's agape love. That's soul love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That love that the Bible says covers the multitude of sins. It's an unconditional love. He says that you have to be an example of the believer in your love. Y'all, that means you've got to love some people who don't love you. It means you've got to love some people who don't want your love. Y'all like y'all ain't experienced that. Y'all have never dealt with rejection. Amen. There are some folk who don't want to be bothered with you. And there are some of them bold enough to tell you that. I don't know why you're always up in my face. I don't like you. There's some folk out there who will tell you, right? Amen. And what I've learned is that some of those people, we've got to love them anyway. Now, that don't mean you run up in their face every chance you get. You know they don't like you. You know they don't want to be bothered with you. And you're going to take that scripture that talks about putting coals on their head, say, well, every chance you get, you're running up in their face. Hey, how you doing? Knowing that's just grating their nerves, knowing you're just getting under their skin. I've said it in Bible study that some folk, you got to love long distance. Get you some binoculars. I still love them. Get you a telescope. I'm telling you, some folk, you got to love them long distance, but you love them, amen. Because when you stand before God, amen, let it not come up that you had enmity in your heart against anybody. Let it not come up that you have hatred for anybody. And I tell folk this all the time. You know, every now and then somebody will have a problem with somebody in the church, and they come to me all sly and clever and try to win me on their side, you know, and get to talking about somebody else in the church and wanting me not to like them. But I made up in my mind a long time ago, I ain't going to hell for none of y'all. No. Not going to be able to do it. It's hot down there. As a matter of fact, I would suggest that you work out your problem with them. Because I don't want you to go to hell either, but I sure ain't going. Amen. And y'all, I've said it. I know some of y'all can say it. Pastor, you ought not say that. But I know some of y'all, for folk, have said, Reverend Garner can go to hell. I'm not going to hell. I ain't going. The next thing he says, and I'm almost finished, he says, be thou an example in spirit. This word spirit in the Greek is pneuma. It's the same word we get pneumonia from. Amen. It has to do with breath and air. It refers to the Holy Spirit and his manifestation in spiritual gifts. It refers also to the human spirit, your life and your conduct. Let me see if I can break it down for you. You see, when we come to fellowship on first Sundays in the Lord's Supper, many of you pray, I hope, even before you get here, because you don't want to take the Lord's Supper unworthily for fear of sickness and death. And that's good. Amen. You pray, God, forgive us. God, forgive me for my sins of omission. That's stuff I should have done that I didn't do. And then we say, Lord, forgive me for my sin of commission. That's stuff I did that I should not have done. But every now and then, we need to pray for another sin that many of us don't even know it's a sin, but it is a sin, and that is the sin of disposition. That means your attitude. See, sometimes it ain't what you do or what you don't do, but sometimes it's the attitude you have when you're doing it or when you're not doing it. Because some stuff folk do in the church just to spite somebody else. In the church, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, but some stuff folk do just to spite somebody, amen? So you got to check your attitude. And then let me move right on. He says, Paul says, be an example of the believer in your faith, pistos in the Greek, which means he wants you to show faithfulness. That's why when the Lord told me, Sister Dutch, to be the head of the Women's Missionary Society, I didn't, amen, second guess it at all, because she has proven herself faithful. See, Bernadette and I grew up in this church. Matter of fact, we called the PB. That's what we called the PB.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
K-A-Y-T, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Sometimes the hardest person for you to forget is the one you see in the mirror every day. It's time for you to get free. Sing fire.
I decided to stop replaying regrets. I'm excited to tell
everything in
my past goodbye. I cannot change what I did, but it didn't change what you gave when you took my place. No more guilt but grace.
Time to let it go.
Held on way too long, watching reruns of my role take the shame away.
No more
reliving mistakes you washed away.
So I want you.